If you've been with us for a little while, you know we've been talking to students who've been doing water quality work along the Rio Grande River and the Colorado River, and we've also been out to the Gulf of Mexico. As you can well imagine, things really change when those freshwater rivers hit the Gulf of Mexico, and they create very special habitats called estuaries. And I have with me right now Courtney and Martha from Palacios, which is a little town on the Texas coast, near the middle of the Gulf of Mexico shoreline on Texas. And they're going to talk to us about estuaries. And first, I guess we need to know exactly what an estuary is.
Well, an estuary is a semi-enclosed body of water where the river meets the ocean and freshwater and saltwater mix. And for example, the typical salinity of ocean water is 35 parts per thousand. And that means if you had 1,000 grams of salt water, you would have 35 grams of salt. And maybe a better example is, this is a liter bottle, and if it were filled with ocean water, you would have about this much salt come out of it.
In an estuary, like where we're from in Matagorda, there's a lot less salt, usually 14 to 18 parts per thousand. In the average liter like this from an estuary, you'd have less salt. Maybe about this much salt would come out of an evaporated bottle of water from that area.
Well, why should we be concerned about our estuaries? What do estuaries do that maybe we should know about?
Well, that's why we brought props to help us remember the specific functions and their importance. First of all, we have a fishing pole because fishing is very, very popular in estuaries. And it brings lots of tourism. We have a house here because it provides habitat for many animals and fish and organisms. And it mixes the fresh water and salt water. And it acts as a fertilizer and a filter.
We also have a bear here because estuaries are like nurseries or places where animals are safe and can grow in their gentle times of life. We also have a shock absorber because estuaries work to protect the areas around them from storms, heavy wind damage, and surf. We also have a bag of multicolored M&Ms to represent the different diversity in the area, and also a compass because there's several different animals that migrate to the area because it's very fertile and they can live there naturally.
Well, you've talked about nurseries and diversity and wildlife and migratory animals. What are some of the species? What are some of the specific fish and animals that come to the estuary that you can tell us about?
Some of the main fish that we have, usually sport fish, are the speckled trout and the flounder. There's a lot of fishing done like that.
And the redfish. Those are the most popular ones in our areas.
Okay. Now, those aren't migratory, though, are they?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of migratory animals are we talking about?
We're talking more about fowl. More birds migrate to the area and then pass on.
Let's take just a moment. It looks like we have another question from that proverbial bottle. We have several questions. The first one is from Benito, and it says, what is the percentage of pollution in the Gulf? Now, I'm not quite sure how you would measure the pollution in the Gulf, but y'all have been studying an estuary. Are you seeing a lot of trash or other evidence of pollution in your area?
In our area, not as much as in larger areas or more industrial areas. But in the Gulf, there is a large amount of pollution due to waste from boats and spills and things like that.
So it sounds like there's enough that we should be concerned about it. And it says, the next question is, how do fish change colors when keeping away from trouble? Since we're not really fish experts, I'm not sure we're the right ones to address that question. Many animals, fish included though, will change colors as the hormones in their body change. If they get excited, if they have a flush of adrenaline, then they can change colors. Other animals, as we know, like the chameleon, for example, change colors to help them blend into their background. And I assume fish do the same thing. We have another question. How much pollution is dumped into the water each day? And this is from Herman. Again, y'all have been on the water and have looked at garbage. We've talked to some garbologists from your school. We heard them say that they picked up 300 to 500 pounds of garbage from a 500 meter stretch of beach, which is, I guess, about a third of a mile. So to keep putting that much beach water, that much garbage in the water to end up on the beach, trip after trip after trip. That sounds like an awful lot of garbage going in the water each day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is there anything that else that you'd like to tell us about our estuaries, about why they're important or why we should be concerned about keeping them clean?
They're an area where a lot of animals begin their life. They grow and thrive in the area.
That's what makes it a nursery.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe shrimp and crabs and some of these fish we've talked about.
Commercial fishermen.
Well, good. Well, now we've added estuaries to our list of habitats. We've looked at riffles and pools and estuaries. We've looked at the open gulf. Next, what we'd like to do is go over to Bill and maybe focus in on seagrasses, which is a habitat type we haven't looked at yet. Seagrasses are another very significant habitat type. We have those in Texas, and Bill's going to help us understand how we study seagrasses and what we know about them.